my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Well,
good evening, everyone. Praise God. Can you all hear me okay? Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good again to be together. And I trust that we've come this evening believing, expecting, and to meet with God. Because that is what it is. These meetings, I see them more and more as a divine appointment, meeting up with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and coming in unity and fellowship together with him. What a great privilege, eh? Well, we're going to exhort this evening in something I believe the Lord has given me. And the title for this teaching tonight is Christ Will Give You Rest. Christ will give you rest. And I want to take our teaching this evening from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, and I want to primarily look at verse 28. That is Matthew 11 and verse 28. And here, in the context of what our Lord is speaking about, is that he has come as Saviour and Redeemer to give a true rest, not a temporary rest, but a true rest. And in this, he's thanking the Father that God is, through the Holy Spirit, is not revealing these things to the wise, the intellect, the arrogant, the proud, but he's revealing these things to babes. And he goes on that he has done what the Father wants him to do, and he again is reiterating that when you see the Father, you see me. All of this, of course, leading up to the great two verses that we know very well and probably can recite. But we're really looking at verse 28 this evening, of which it says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he then goes on, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So in other words, what he is revealing here is, although he's Lord, he's Master, he's God, he's everything and more we can even imagine, yet he says, my yoke is easy. My dealings with you are not a burden. I'm not saving you so that you do not have rest and peace with me. On the contrary. Now, only God, of course, can do that. And so that's why he says, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That, of course, is one of the ways that God has got your attention and my attention in this world, where we realise that we didn't have that rest that we should. The world was getting heavier and heavier. We had a huge load upon our shoulders that was slowly destroying us. And God, in his mercy and grace, opened our eyes to see that somebody can take that burden and make it lighter. And we will never really know throughout eternity just how great our salvation is in Christ Jesus. But of course, when we get into glory, we will have eternity in which to learn more and more about the joys and blessings of salvation and how God has redeemed us from this corrupt world, and indeed even delivered us from ourselves, who often can be our own worst enemy. So here it is, come to me, all you who labour. That is the call. And we note in there, he says, all you who labour. So it's not just for a certain few. It is not just for Israel. It is for all who are aware of this burden. This burden of sin, guilt, the things of this life getting heavier and heavier. He says, all you who labour and are heavy laden. He says, you're the ones I will give rest. But of course, we have to acknowledge, don't we, that we have these heavy burdens. We are in sin, separated from the love of God. So it is an acknowledgement. It is being aware that there are burdens and I have need of rest. Otherwise, I perish. In many ways, it's desperate people who seek for this rest. And when we find this rest, it's absolutely paramount that we maintain and keep it. And that's really what I want to hone in on this evening, as believers, that it is important that we maintain and keep that rest that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Christ Will Give You Rest. Now, whenever anything comes between your relationship with the Lord Jesus, you're to turn to him immediately. Now, we've given much teaching over the season with regard to this, but I'm going to continue to bring it up, because there are many things in this world that try to distract us and hinder us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the clear signs that we are in fellowship with him is this rest that is ministered to us. It's not a rest that is just ministered to the mind. It is a rest to the spiritual being, to the heart. If the heart isn't right, the mind isn't right. And if the mind isn't right, the heart isn't right. And therefore God has equipped, through the new birth, through salvation, through the word of God, that he can get through to the heart of man. That is why he was told in Scripture that he holds the reins of our mind, that he works on the mind. And of course we know why, because that is where Satan attacks. That is the only access he has to you, and that is to try and suggest his lies to the mind. And he tries to work fear, unbelief, and all those things that so often we find ourselves grappling with. But they don't last if your eyes are fully fixed on the Lord Jesus. And it's only for a season. And even through those trials, you still have that rest, that assurance that whatever you're going through is just for a season. We will look at this later on. But we are to maintain this relationship with Him. And when we've missed the mark, the standard, turn to Him immediately. Make it your priority. And if it means cancelling an arrangement or you're going out somewhere, go before the Lord. It is that important so that you are in that fellowship. You are experiencing that peace, that unbroken fellowship that is so vital for us now as overcomers. And we should really guard over this. And if anything tries to come between that, then we deal with it harshly. Because our relationship with God is absolutely paramount to everything else in this life. Everything else in this life is simply secondary in our fellowship, our stand, our communion with the Lord Jesus. And you see, this rest He gives is, it's obvious, it's Himself. It's His entirety. We're told that of His fullness we have received. So this rest that we receive, that is spoken of here in verse 28, is the Lord Himself in us and through us. It's His presence which is vital. So His presence needs to be with us 24/7. We need to know His word. And so His presence, His rest, is in the word of God that we receive, that we hear. We also know of His protection. His protection so often is confirmed by that rest that we have with Him. His guidance over our lives, so that we know day by day that our footsteps are guided by Him because He has gone before. Again, only the experience of that can come with this rest. I will give you rest. That's what He says. And I could just go on and on and on with this. You see, He's to be our all and in all. Nothing else exists that is important in our life than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our all and in all. Everything else is secondary. Everything else, yes, it has an importance, but nothing in comparison to our stand, our walk, our consecration with the Lord. Because this is all about maintaining this rest that I'm speaking about tonight. So, what do we see then from scriptures? He says, then come to me all you who labour and are heavy laden. So in other words, He says, I will give you rest. So it means here, it's all those that are tired. It's all those that are exhausted. It can mean toil and it can mean grief. It's a number of things, all of which all of us have experienced these things in our lives. And there are some scriptures that back up what He's talking about here, those who labour and so on. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 28... Chapter 6 and verse 28. He says here, with regard to putting Him first, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Here again is casting off these burdens, experiencing this rest that He gives to us. These are all promises in His word. Let's also turn to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Luke 5 and verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. So there we are. There's this idea of burden, toil, anguish. But the Lord has spoken, put down the nets. And of course, they had a huge catch. And when the Lord speaks and when he blesses, there is that rest, that supernatural rest. This is why God's presence has to be with us in order to do these supernatural things in our lives. Revelation. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. I'm just giving some parallels here with regard to what we're looking at in verse 28. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. For you are reproached, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So here, the apostle says that even through persecution, if you're reviled, he says you're blessed. And the reason you're blessed is because God's rest, his peace, is upon you. So we see very, very clearly how the early Christians who were persecuted, even many of them who were martyred for the faith, they were able to do this because the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon them. In other words, they were protected. They were supernaturally empowered when they took their last breath, because God's presence was upon them. I'm reminded of the early Christians who were persecuted. Many of them, even through the Romans, viciously tortured and thrown to the lions and made fun of, went into glory with our eyes and hearts looking upward to heaven. It is amazing how God provides, how his presence is there through every situation that we go through. And we need to be comforted by these things. When we go through our trials, we need to be comforted that God is with us, and that he hasn't forsaken us. And it's such a blessing, this is, to know that the Lord has not forsaken us in any way. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of Stephen, the first martyr, in the book of Acts. When he looked up and saw the Lord as they stoned him. And he was praying forgiveness over them. Again, there's a sign of God's rest, his presence over the people, over the saints. And it's the same when you go through your trials, your testings. His peace, his rest, his presence is ever there, or should be there. You see, there are those who rest in Christ, who've gone before, who are now in glory. And that is why we say, don't we, they're in Christ. They're at peace, they're at rest. They're no longer in this life any longer. They're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those, of course, who are saved. And so he says, I will give you rest. Now, what is this understanding of rest? What it means to refresh? It means to bring calm, peace into your life, your mind, your soul, your being. It also means to recover. If you've been through a difficult time or you're a bit battle fatigued, he's there ministering that rest, comfort, recovery. This is how he comes to us. Again, we'll look at some scriptures to remind ourselves of this. Mark 14, verse 41. Mark 14 and verse 41. Then he came the third time and he said to them, "You are still sleeping and resting. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Begone. See, my betrayer is at hand." So here again, this idea, this understand of rest. In this case, of course, the disciples were sleeping. They couldn't keep awake. They couldn't really keep awake to pray and intercede with the Lord who was being betrayed. So there we see a type of sort of rest. There are many illustrations of this word for rest. Jesus needed to rest at times. Sometimes he slept when the winds came up. He was in the boat. He was sleeping. And they said to him, "How can you sleep with these winds that have come up?" Well, he was doing so because he was experiencing the Father's rest in his life. He knew he wouldn't drown or the boat wouldn't sink. So there he had that simple trust ministered to him through that rest. You see, we all wish, don't we, to live a simple life without worries or fears, anxieties, burdens, problems with the children, or whatever it is. We all wish for this, don't we? Everyone's trying to look for a simple life. That's one of the reasons why holidays are so popular. It's just getting away, having a rest. But of course, you have to go back to the grindstone. But that isn't the case with the Lord. This is a permanent rest. This is a rest forever. It will go on from this life into eternity. That is the rest that he gives to us, unlike what the world can give. The world can give a temporary rest. Satan can counterfeit that, but it doesn't take long until things start to go wrong because we live in a fallen world. That's why. So people are always looking for this rest to just unload. It's so often God uses this, doesn't it, to get us to reach out to him for his strength and his presence. And very often he uses the weaknesses. He uses sometimes when we fall or we've fallen into sin. He uses all of this, as we know, because ultimately he's restoring us back to show us the importance of this rest that we're to have as believers walking in this life. It's absolutely essential, this is. There are many professing Christians who don't really know or understand this rest. And that's why they waver. That's why they're up and down, like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro, as James says. There are many like that, but that is not how God wants us to walk. Not if we're experiencing this rest that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, his rest is his strength and his presence. This rest that we're speaking about in verse 28 is his presence. It's his power. It's his rest, his peace that he has with the unity and oneness in the Godhead. There's complete rest, complete unity, oneness, agreement, harmony in the Godhead. And he desires to minister that to you so that this rest that you experience from Almighty God is a rest that is found in the Godhead. Harmony, unity, oneness, peace. I could just go on and on and on. In the Godhead, they are in complete agreement. Whatever the Holy Spirit does on the earth, Jesus and the Father are completely in unity and oneness. When God saved your life and opened your eyes to sin in your life and granted you that gift of faith to be able to confess the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, when you received him as your Lord and Saviour, the Godhead was in complete agreement and harmony with the Holy Spirit's work in your life. No schism. In other words, Jesus wasn't saying to the Father, I'd like to save that sister. And the Father's saying, well, I'm not sure about it. Do you think she's going to be good enough? Do you think she'll make it in? No, 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 no. Nothing like that. They're in complete harmony, unity, oneness. And in complete agreement. Yes, in other words, they cannot work independently. And so this rest that is graciously given to us is this rest that is found in the Godhead. That is why you are one with the Godhead. That is why he lives in his fullness in your life. You have received of him. That is profound. We're still working that one out. We're still experiencing that, but that is what the scriptures say. He has left, he hasn't left any part of himself out. He hasn't given more of himself to one believer and less to another. God never works that way. Of his fullness we have received. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And so we should be then experiencing that rest. Now, our rest should be childlike. It shouldn't be worked out. It shouldn't be questioned, argued with, or tried to analyze. It is on the basis of simply believing. And a child believes. A child doesn't question like we do. As some great saint said this, a child of God is not aware of the will of God. He is the will of God. I'm going to give that again to you. A child of God is not aware of the will of God. He is the will of God. That is what a child believes. A child does not question. What is God's will? I am his will. Because I'm at rest and at peace with him. But you know when you're not in his will, because you lose that peace. You no longer have that rest. And so because we have that rest with him, that is the will of God. You are the will of God. You're in the will of God. For example, how many are not sure whether they should be in this room tonight listening to this or not? I would assume most of us believe we're here because the Holy Spirit drew us. We're not questioning, well, I don't know whether I should be here or I should be in another room or I should go and see the neighbour next door or whatever it is. No, 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 no. Why? Because we are the will of God if we have that childlike faith. We simply believe it. We don't question it. You see, when we deviate, we start to inquire and question. And when you start inquiring and questioning God, that is a sign you are not in the will of God. You are not at that rest as you should be. Because rest ministers the presence, the being of God Himself in your life, in your whole entire being. That is what this rest Jesus is speaking about here in Matthew 11, verse 28. I wonder if we've ever really thought that that is the sort of rest that He is offering. That is why He said, take my yoke upon me. My burden is not heavy. My yoke is light. And now we can begin to see why it is light, because of this rest that is ministered to us. Hallelujah. And that's why He so confidently says to you and I, come to me. I am the only one. There's nobody else. And probably some of us have tried to look to other things or other religions or whatever it is. There isn't anything else. There is only Jesus. Nothing else exists eternally outside Him. And that's why He says, come to me. Now this coming to me means completion. I am complete in Him. I have His rest. I rest in all His will for my life. His sovereign plan that He has for me, I rest in that. His love, I rest in that, because nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All His promises in His word which I read, I rest in that. They're mine through Jesus Christ. I rest in Christ through my prayers, intercessions, supplications. Because that is the will of God. I don't question it. Yes, my trials, my temptations, as real as they are, but God will deliver me out of them. And He does. Why? Because of that rest that we have with Him. And finally, our healing and our deliverance, that by His stripes we were healed at Calvary. The rest that we have in Him ministers that. This rest that we have in Him deals with all unbelief, doubting the Word of God, doubting the Lord. This is why He said, come, I will give you rest. Well, brothers and sisters, I wanted to exhort you this evening to give you a little understanding of this rest that we have, this rest that Jesus brought for us through the cross, where He's united us now, dealt with sin, rebellion, all that alienated us from the Father. We're now wonderfully united in oneness through Him, through the greatest sacrifice that God has ever given. For what purpose? That you will have rest in Him. And that is a great guidance to us. It is our spiritual thermometer. It tells us if things are going wrong, or there's not that peace that there should be. Because we should have this rest 24/7. If it's not working, drop everything, get before the Lord. Because He will minister that rest. He's promised. He said, come to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for exhorting us, encouraging us, how we need to hear your word. There is always something new, Father, to learn, or something to go over that we've looked at before, only to find that there's more understanding and revelation behind your word. And we believe, Father, in this rest that you have given to us. And Father, help us not to question, to keep inquiring, or wanting to know. A child does not do that. And that is what you are working in each of us, this childlike faith and belief and rest. All the while we're striving or wanting answers or inquiring, that isn't rest. That is strife, restlessness. Father, deliver us from this, that we may experience this rest that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is why you have said, come to me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We thank you, Father, for this. We thank you for our fellowship this evening. Again, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. You will ever preserve, bless and keep them all. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. And above all, Father, my prayer is that they will receive the fruit, the blessing of this word in their lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. It's good to be with you and to share. And thank you for those who've monitored this evening. And all of you have a blessed week. And the room, Lord willing, will be open in a week's time, next Tuesday, from 7:30 onwards. And on Sunday, we are meeting together because it's the last Sunday of the month and it's our prayer meeting as a church, so it's very important. And it will be at my place, that is at 11 o'clock, that is on Sunday. So until then, every blessing to you all.
Cheers.